you guys are more important than being cold. You know, so that's really awesome. That's a good job. So God's got something for you. I truly believe, weather and Nicole. How many actually will be honest and say I don't like this weather? Who says I don't like this weather? Let me see your hands. Okay. Who says I love this weather? Oh, that's me. I love both hands and a leg. Praise the Lord. Yes, I love this weather. So nice, so nice, so nice. The other night, Friday night, there was an event here, and they had some fire pits out there, and I was just so nice. It's just sitting in the middle of the parking lot, and it was just cool. It's nice and cool, and I'd rather be cool than sweat. And so, and I don't know if that's a New York thing. I don't know, but you know, so I know. I don't know, but anyways, listen, so glad that you're here. God's got something for you, like I said. As we will jump right into the word this morning, but before we do that, you know, don't forget, this is the last week of small groups. So sad. It comes to an end on Saturday, this session of small groups. So if you have, if you like, I want to be involved in a small group, I want to lead a small group, go to fwcpo.org and you can lead a spring small group. Signups are already started, so you can be involved in that. Lead a small group, you know, step up to a new level of leadership. You know, it'll be worth your time, and you'll see, wow, this is amazing. One of my best nights of the week, honestly, is when our men small group gets together on every Tuesday night, and it's such a good time with those guys. And so I'm going to be sad. It's going to be going away after this. And so sign up are there. And also next week's the last grow. You know, our leader here, faithful leader, Lee Single overgrow. She is... The final Grow 4 is next week, and then it'll start back up in February. And so so a lot of great stuff going on. But this morning, we continue with part 3 of the series called Gladiators. And so a couple weeks ago, we started this, and it's based off of Hebrews chapter 11, and both of those messages, the first part 1, and they're standalone messages. This morning, like, oh, part 3, I'm going to be behind. No, they're standalone messages, even though they go along with the theme. Part 1 is on there, part 2. Pastor Kathy did a great job last week with part 2 and with Rahab. And so that was really great perspective and everything. So you can listen to that. And then we talked about Samson week 1. This morning, as we're going to springboard off of, we're going to start with, you know, Hebrews chapter 11 talks about the hall of fame of faith. And it lists individuals that all throughout biblical time, they just picks out certain individuals, certain men, certain women that we're saying they're spiritual gladiators for God. You know, things that they went through, things that they did, and the experiences. You know, not all were successful the way you think. We talked about Samson in week 1. You can listen to that. You know, but Samson, you would have thought, my gosh, how could God list Samson when you saw exactly what happened in his life and how things ended? So this morning, it's really awesome that we're going to springboard off of this, because this morning we're going to talk about Sarah, Abraham's wife. And so with that being said, let's just go to the Father in prayer, and then we'll start. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you that you're so good and your mercies endure forever. Thank you, Father God, that you have brand new blessings for us each and every day. You create brand new blessings for each and every one of us every single day. That's how much you love us. That's how much you believe in us. That's how much you want us to have the best, your best. So, Father God, I thank you that we come into this place not to be entertained. Father God, we come into the house, your house, to be drastically changed. So we walk out, we can say, surely it was good to be in the presence of the Lord. And we thank you that everything is said and done is edifying and glorifying to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Everyone say amen.
Amen.
Oh, come on.
Amen.
And the church said,
amen.
All right. It's going to be like that this morning, all right? Need some interaction. The more interaction you have, the shorter I'll preach. Does that sound good?
Come on.
Okay. My wife's screaming amen. So anyways, So Hebrews chapter 12, it specifically talks about the Hero's Hall of Faith, and then so, actually 11, and then chapter 12, which that is our text for the series. That's our text for the series, and it says in Hebrews 12, 1, therefore, this is a continuation. Before they marked out, Bible verses and chapters, it was one continuous thing. So this is, even though it's separated by chapter, but it is a continuous thought. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses, let me stop right there. It is so awesome to know that we have individuals in heaven cheering us on. I'll even personalize it. There are all these individuals. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, right, list those heroes of faith, the hall of fame of faith. Those heroes are cheering you on. They're saying you can do it. You can do it. Keep going. Don't stop. You got it. And then not only are those individuals like Moses and Samson and all these other great, incredible individuals, right? Not only them, but then our loved ones that have gone on before. They are up there with them, cheering you on. You can do it. Keep going. Don't stop. And so, I don't know about you, but that encourages me. Because I don't know about you, but I mean, there's days that I'm just like, man, this is a really bad day. It's a rough day. Everything's not going well. It's not going the way I thought it was going to go. Is anyone have days like that? And then you think, just imagine if I actually get out of bed right now, what the rest of the day would actually be like. It's true. That's where it starts, right there. But, you know, just rough days, knowing that we do have a great cloud of witnesses cheering us on. Amen. Every single day. And then the Bible goes on to say, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. The Bible right here saying, you know what, life is challenging. We know this, but you know what, we have the word of God to help us overcome. And so, and let us run with, what's that next word? Persevere. What's that next word? Perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And so this morning, based upon Sarah, we're going to talk about, this whole message is wrapped around, bacon wrapped around, those of you who like bacon, bacon wrapped around, you can tell us lunch is coming, perseverance. Because I believe that Sarah knew a thing or two about perseverance. Perseverance meaning patient and endurance. Being patient and endurance. In other words, it's going to take a while. I know a little something about endurance or perseverance. Those of you that know that our backstory, Pastor Kathy and I dated off and on for 11 years. 11 years. It's a long time. I mean, Jacob even got something out of the deal when he was working for, he was like, you know what? He saw Rachel and said, Rachel, she's beautiful. Saw her in the field. I got to marry her. And he makes a deal with her father and said, you know what? The father says, work for me for 7 years. 7 years and you get to marry her. He was like, giddy up. The Bible says, right, that he actually worked and it didn't even seem like it was 7 years because he was in love with her so much. It just seemed like a few days. I don't know about that. But, you know, it's like, but I tell you what, after 7 years, bam, he got fooled, and Rachel's father snuck in Leah. So then all of a sudden, he's like, what? Next morning, he wakes up. This is not the woman that I worked for. And then the father said, well, I got to take care of all my daughters. And so, you know, you got that. So you work another 7 years, and you can have Rachel. And he did it because he was in love with her. He was just, you know, and then so 7 years later, in 14 years, man, I didn't get nothing for five and a half years, okay? 11 years, nothing. Maybe a brother I got, maybe one of her brothers, you know, maybe, you know, but 5.5 years, nothing. So 11 years, a long time. And then on top of that, then just this past Thursday, we celebrated 21 years of being married. And so a little bit, maybe just a smidget. I'm not Sarah's caliber in the Bible here, but a little bit about, I understand about perseverance, being patient, endurance, perseverance, you know? And so perseverance is a part of life. It is. And Sarah's a great example of this. and we can learn from her success, and we can learn from her failure. I also believe this is a timely message for some of you, because real talk, you know, you're like, hey, I know what the Word of God says about my situation. I know what the Word of God says about my healing. I know what the Word of God says about my marriage. I know what the Word of God says about my family. I'm believing God for them to come to know Jesus. I'm, you know, or I'm believing God for my finances. Whatever it is, I'm believing. And you know what the Word of God says, but real talk, John, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. I know what the Bible says, but it's just this. I'm having a challenge, and this message. I mean, even though I know what the Bible says, it seems like everything should be going that way. Everything looks like it's trending going this way. It's going the opposite direction of what it should be. This message is for you this morning. You know, and so a little bit of backstory about Sarah, the wife of Abraham, you know, can really help us out. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. This is the NIV. And after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Abram in a vision. Now understand, Abram, he was not named Abraham yet. Sarah wasn't named, or I should say, so Sarai, she was still Sarah, not named Abraham. And the reason why that is because God put the ah at the end of Abraham. And Sarah, because in the Hebrew, that's the ha is the word for God. Meaning they let God work in their lives. They looked less like themselves and more like God at the end. So he goes on, verse 1 says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." And he goes on to say, he goes on to tell God, "God, yes, I know, but I don't have an heir. I don't have an heir." It was on his, you know, he was bothering him. "I don't have an heir." And God begins to tell him, you know, "You're going to have an heir. You're going to have," in verse 4, "and then the word of the Lord came to him, this man who he thought, it was a servant, he thought he was going to leave everything to him." And God's saying, "No, you're going to have your own flesh and blood will be your heir." And then he couldn't comprehend it. He wasn't understanding it. So God told him, go outside. I mean, go out the tent. Go look up at the sky. Look up in the nighttime and count the stars. And try and count the stars, because, you know, it's almost impossible. It's impossible to do. And that's what's going to be like, that your family, the whole aspect of your entire, your heritage, everything. I mean, you look up at the sky, and that's what's going to be represent. And he was trying to comprehend that. And then so let's fast forward. Spoiler alert. Fast forward 25 years later. 25. Oh, that's for you guys. 25 years later. I'm going to go backwards. 25 years later. Then the promise happens. So, yes, praise God. Like, oh, yes, she was 90 years old when she gave birth. Abraham was 100, right? So let's rewind 25 years. We know the end result, but you know what? There's 25 years in between where they were like, okay, where is this promise? Where is this promise that's supposed to happen from God? And they began to struggle. And so today's message is I mean, even well, I said even this, let me just add, not only during that time frame, there had to been a certain age where, you know, you just knew you can't have babies anymore. And to think, how is God gonna do this? How is God gonna keep his word supply? And that's where we walk into this message for today. For when you can't understand God and impatience threatens to overwhelm you. I know my promise. I know what the victory is. It makes sense. It makes sense. But I tell you what, I know I read it in the Bible. I even hear I can get encouraged and strengthened on a Sunday morning through the preaching. But I tell you what, when I walk out the door later on, it's just like, oh my gosh, I don't see it. Everything seems to be going the opposite way. And impatience threatens to overwhelm you. And this honestly was Sarah. She became very impatient and started to navigate things on her own and honestly mess some things up. So listen to me, church fam. A moment of patience can save you a lifetime of regret. A moment of patience can save you a lifetime of regret. I'll give you an example. How many of you, maybe when you were younger and you're 15 years oldish, you know, and you're like, oh my gosh, I got a girlfriend, I got a boyfriend, you know, whatever. And then, you know, you're thinking, oh, this, you know, we're going to go all the way to like after college. After college, we're going to get married. And, you know, this is going to be the one that I'm going to be with. And we're going to go through our junior high, our middle school years. We're going to go through our high school years. And we're going to go to college. Being a youth minister for and being involved in youth ministry for over 30 years, we've seen it over and over and over and over again. They think, oh, they're going to make it. And they're going to do that. But, you know, how many of you thought, oh, I was dating somebody when I was younger, but it didn't work out. And today, you check them up on a Facebook, and you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus, I didn't marry that person. You know what I'm talking about because you've done it. You've done it, and you're, you know, like when they're 15 years old, they're all like stacked and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, ooh, they're just a bucket of poo, a bucket of not poo. Bucket of goo. Yes. But you know what? We laugh because there's a lot of validity to that. There's a lot of truth to that. But honestly, a lot of us struggled when we were that young because why didn't God answer my prayer? I was praying that would work out. And it's easier now to look back and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. But during that time, we struggled with our, well, why is God not answering me? Why is God, our faith is getting all distorted because we try to do things in our own strength versus trusting God, period. That's simple. And so we walk into where Sarah, she makes this mistake, but she's saying, I believe that we can learn that it's so important to understand that the impatience thing that I'm talking about can overwhelm you to the point of really threatening your life, spiritually and then naturally. Because we can miss God and totally take a turn off of God's road or what he has for us. God's way. So I think this thought pattern, Sarah would say, don't complicate God's promise with your solution. Don't complicate God's promise with your solution. Because you're in that wait. It's not happening in our time, and it's not happening in my time frame. You know, I believe she said to us, I didn't trust God to learn from my mistake. I didn't. Sure, she'll say that. It's learned from my mistake. So I said, you know, I believe. She said, you know, trust God. Where is it? Well, okay, I heard you say that earlier. Trust God. Trust God in what? Well, number one, trust God even if it takes a long time. And it probably will. And I don't think very many of us, if I'm being honest, not very many of us like that aspect of God. You know? But I think God is notoriously slow in our understanding of slowness. Because we want it like now. Like back when I was growing up, it was Burger King, have it your way, right? It's my Burger King, have it your way. And now it's not all about Burger King, now it's about Chick-fil-A. Because, you know, no matter how long that line is, you know you're going to get in there, get bam, 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 get hot Chick-fil-A. Get God's chicken, that's what it is. God's chicken, right? And don't backslide and go to Popeyes on Sundays, okay? But you know, you get God's chicken and you go through. No matter how long that line is, you know it's gonna be quick because they got it down and you're gonna feel special. You know, how may I serve you? Oh, I'm glad you asked, you know. And so, you know, I'll take a number one, you know, extra, you know, large, you know, with the diet Dr. Pepper. Thank you very much, you know, and you know, put some extra pickle on there. Thank you. You know, and you know you're gonna get thank you very much, and you get, and it's quick, it's easy, and that's what we're used to. We're used to the now. We're used to the, oh, it's what I need, what I want, what I desire now. And God's not like that. Uh-uh. I heard this story about a man who asked God, talking about, you know, things taking a long time. I heard about a man who I was in a conversation with God, and he said, he asked God, God, what's a million years like to you? God said, my child, a million years is like a second. He said, wow. Well, God, what's $1 million like to you? And he said, $1 million is like a penny. Then the man said, can I get one of those pennies? And God said, sure, just wait a second. It's coming around. It's swinging around like a boomerang. It's like, oh, yeah, I get that. All right. Genesis chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Now, Sarai, this is before, you know, God putting him, you know, the hall in her life, you know, in her name. But Sarai, Abram's wife, Abram's wife, had born her children. So she takes things in her own. She steps in. I don't want to say she's controlling, but she's stepping in. And she is taking control of what she feels is not in her timing. And so what does she do? She goes and she says, I have an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And so she says to Abram, the Lord kept me. Check this out. The Lord has kept me from having children. See, you've got to be careful that when you're in the wait, that your theology doesn't get messed up because you're wanting something so bad, so right now, that your theology gets jacked up. What did she say right here? God told her that that they were going to have a child, but here she's saying, the Lord has kept me from having children. Getting it all jacked up because she's frustrated. She's irritated. She wants it. She wants what she wants. And you know what? Instead of just trusting God. So what is that? Even if it takes a long time, that's what we're talking about. So then, what in the world? She says, go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed. Dude, just say no, man. Does this make me look? No, you know, you say no. They still no for everything. No, 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 no. You'd be like, no, baby, I'm good. I'm just going to believe God, you know? And so, no, you don't get a hall pass and think it's all good. And just because, oh, I said, no, absolutely not. No, no. But see, well, just keep going. And so he goes and he sleeps with her. Abram sleeps with Hagar. She bears a child named Ishmael. I don't know if you know who Ishmael is, but he is the father of the Arab nations, which has been conflict ever since the beginning of this right here. And so we have to be careful not to implement a surrogate solution because it will end up causing chaos for our lives. We got to be careful of implementing surrogate solutions, because it leads to chaos. The second thing I think Sarah would encourage us with here this morning that we can learn from her today is, you know what, look, when you're tempted to take matters in your own hands, trust God. Trust God how? Trust God if it takes a long time. Number two, trust God even if it seems ridiculous. What does that mean? Even if it seems ridiculous. It was pretty ridiculous thinking that, you know, they did not have what it took to have a baby, and yet they did 25 years later. But what they needed to have was that ridiculous type thinking to be comfortable with God in this. We have to be comfortable with God in the ridiculous, comfortable with God, with these things. And let me just say this, because really, let's just be honest, Christians, especially today, because we want to be, you know, PC, right? Politically correct. So Christians today, they want God in the box. They want God neat and tidy. They want their Jesus all, you know, they can't offend nobody. They just want normal. Well, I don't know. I read through the Bible. There's nothing normal about our God. There's nothing normal about our God. And here's the thing. here's the truth of the matter. Say, well, you know, there's things in the Bible that's not normal. You know what? We do not understand with our minds the vastness, the depth, and the width of God. We don't know, and we cannot with our natural minds. So you know what? I venture to say that maybe he's the normal one, and we're the abnormal ones. Amen. And so we have to be ready. I'm not talking about the weird. Don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Not the weird. But we do serve a God that isn't normal, that works in the supernatural. Amen. That affects our natural. You know, God, I believe, is the normal one. You know, and the person that wants the normal of what we think is normal, I believe, removes themselves from a miracle-working God. What's normal, or it's absurd to think, you know, oh, I'm going to spit and make mud and put it in a blind person's eyes the way Jesus did. That was absurd. That was ridiculous. But yeah, and so. But yet, it was supernatural. And so we have to really push past that. I mean, you think about it. Think about it. It's not in our natural minds, you know, it doesn't make sense. God says that I, you know, about the first fruits, first 10% of what we make, what we bring, that God says, bring that into the storehouse, right? So God's saying, you know what, he doesn't want the money, he wants the obedience. He wants the heart. He wants you to learn how to trust him. And if you know, the Bible says where your treasure is, there where your heart will be. So there's something about finances that God says, you know, I want you to trust me in this, you know? And so we take the first 10%, and I'm thinking, you know, there's times in my life, wait, 90% I'm supposed to make this stretch when I can't even make the 100% stretch. This doesn't make sense. But you know what? I have seen time and time again, somehow that 90%, that 90% supersedes my need and supersedes the 100%. Where, how did that happen? I don't know, but you know what? I don't try to figure out, as long as it keeps happening. You know, and I keep trusting him. And that's something that our natural mind does not understand, because it's a supernatural principle. And so, and that's just one thing, you know, and it's like another area that I think that we step back from is truly, you know, I'll raise my hands when I raise my, I'm not raising my hands at all when they sing. I just, you know, sit there and I just, you know, do the hand in the pocket and the coffee in the hand. I'm not going to sing. They look and sound like a bunch of fanatics. And I would say this with all the love and encouragement. And you are keeping yourself from one of the greatest experiences that you can ever have in your life with God. Amen. It's true. You know, I was there one time in my life. I was there, you know, the right in front of the left and standing there thinking, what is going on around here? You know, and people be lifting their hands up and they're singing and they're happy and they're clapping, you know, and they're shouting unto God and, you know, and they're dancing. I'm like, okay, you know. Thinking these people have lost their minds. Well, they have. They have lost their minds. Now they got the mind of Christ. It's a way, different way of thinking. It's not thinking like the world any longer. And so I believe you're keeping yourself from a part of God that you'll never experience. You'll never get to experience the fullness of it, the amazing, just because you're afraid of not looking normal. You know, and I understand it's got to be a journey. And I'm willing to take that journey with you. You know? I was a music minister for several years, so I understand that. So you know, here's what I want to encourage you with. I know there's a progress. You take steps, but some of us here at Family Worship Center, you've been sitting in that chair, you've been standing in front of that chair, and it's long past due for you to be stepping into some things. Just being honest. Take it to prayer. Start somewhere. You know, like today. Just, you know, stomp your little tap your foot a little bit. You know, start this week this way. You know, next week. You know, maybe take your, you know, take, instead of going like this, put your hands in your pocket like this and just, you know, go a little bit over. Do a little flat, you know? You know? Do a chicken wing, you know, whatever you call it. You know, start somewhere. Just like, you know, and then when you're comfortable enough, you can go to, you know, you can hold my baby. You know, that's what they, you know, that's a, you know, you just hold my baby. You just or the Mufasa, you know, like, you know. You know, just take it slow. And then you can get to the final three. The final three is, you know, is it Village People, Rocky, and Touchdown. And then, you know, all those in lifting up your hands. So, he said, well, it's not joking. You shouldn't be joking. You shouldn't be joking about that. But the thing is, you know what? If you see how silly it is about just not really worshiping God, because really when we get to heaven, that's what we're doing the entire time. You know, well, I'm not a singer. God knows that. I'm not, that's not a slam. I'm just saying, God knows that. He doesn't care. He wants the heart. He wants your heart, you know? And so, you know, Genesis chapter 18, you know, 10 through 14, it says, then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. He's telling Abraham, I'm going to return to you this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. This is 24 years later. Then he's going to return on the 25th year, bam. And then, you know, here's Sarah listening at the entrance of the tent. She was eavesdropping. Uh-uh, ain't good, right? And then Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in their years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself. Now, this is not like a, you know, it's not like, oh, God, you're so funny. You know, no, this was like, ha, you're right, you're freaking out. No way. That can't happen. It was like a mockery laugh at God. And then the reason why I can know that is because you see God calls her out on it, right later on in this verse. He calls her out on it. You know, and it says, wait. You know, why did Sarah laugh and say, well, right there, I'm like, sorry, Jesus. You know, sorry, God. Like, no, I'm sorry she laughed. But automatically, bam, he's calling us out. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's like, man, he's calling us. Sarah, you know, she had to understand. She had to, even if it seems ridiculous, trust God. Trust God. So Sarah would say, encourage us to say, you know what? Trust God, even if it takes a long time. Trust God, even if it seems ridiculous. And thirdly, trust God, even if those around you don't. And I will assure you, if you are on the inside stirring up like you don't, you're questioning stuff, the devil will put people around you to speak into your life. He will put people around you, some naysayers, some people full of doubt and unbelief. He'll make sure of it. You must be careful who and what voices that you have in your life that will start you beginning to doubt the truth. And I'm talking about the truth of the Word of God. That's why you got to watch what you watch on social media. You got to watch what you listen to in the news. Doesn't matter where you stand or what party you stand at. Let me tell you something. They're doing it for the ratings, because ratings, it's entertainment news. It's really what it is. Doesn't matter what party it is. Being honest, it's entertainment news, because it causes you to listen, causes you to want to listen, and then you know, you scratch your political ear for the area that you're wanting, and then ratings equals money. They're in it for the money. So you know what? There was a time where I had to stop listening to news. It's about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. I'd get up in the morning, I'd pray, you know, I'd worship God, you know, I'd spend time, I'd read my Bible, and when I was listening, getting ready, I would listen to the news. And then I was like, you know what? God just like, there's just so much trash, so much this and so much that. You know what? I stopped, and I haven't. I keep in touch with what's going on, but not the way I was. Because you know what? That's just negative. You have to be careful to protect the truth that's in your heart, like the truth that God has placed before you. Technology is great, but we have to make sure that we have it in its right perspective. So we're saying you have to be careful, because she had voices around her telling her that she couldn't have a baby at the age of 90 years old. You should be a great grandmother by now. Sarah said, Genesis 21, verse 6 and 7, God has brought me. Now, this is the Sarah. This is the Sarah that saw the promise. This is the Sarah that experienced the promise. This is the Sarah that her faith was encouraged. And she says, God has brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Because there she is, and there she's saying, God's brought my, she is laughing with joy. Some of you need to hear that. Because you're still walking through the wait period. And you're going to, you know, when you're like, you know, I feel like I'm all by myself. But God's with you. And there will be a time of rejoicing. You'll look back and you'll laugh at it. There was a time period, it was seven years ago. You know, but there were people here that started some lies about Pastor Kathy and I before we were pastoring. Straight up lies. And other people started believing it. Man, let me tell you, I wanted to go Mambo Italiano on some people, you know? You know, sleeping with the fishes, cement shoes in the bottom of the Halifax. But you know what? But seriously, but you know, Pastor Kathy, she is like just perfection, and bam, like Jesus right there. Jesus and then Pastor Kathy. She's like, you know, you just gotta let it go. Who cares? And I'm like, man, you do not. You know, it's like get my Robert De Niro face on. I'm like, are you serious right now? You know, and but the truth of the matter, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11 says, discretion will protect you and understanding will guard you. And there was a time frame, there was several months later, and yeah, it bothered me, man, because you know what? You know, if you knew the way I was, if you knew the John Mazza that I was and where I am now, it irritated me. It irritated me that anyone would discredit God like that, that anyone would take what God did in my life. And so I struggled with it. And then before, you know, and I trusted God right there. What the scripture that we read, you know, right there in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 11, you know, discretion will protect you. Using discretion, saying, you know what, I'm going to trust God with it. He's going to fight my battles for me. I know, we know. And you know what? Months later, those other individuals that believed the lie came up and said, you know what, I believe that. And over the last several months, I've been watching you. I've been watching Kathy, and I've been watching these other individuals who said this, and I know they're just spreading lies. And you guys are the real deal. You guys are not perfect, but you're living for God. None of that stuff is true. And God, you know, there's that moment where you just like, it's vindicated. You're like, God got my back. God got our back. But in that time from those months, man, it was like, man, walking in and out, you know, putting on joy because. You know, I'm going to take some, you know, but I had to trust God, not doing it my way, but trusting God in the process. And none of those individuals are in this church even today. God moved them out. And so the thing is that, you know what, we have to trust God. Trust God no matter what, even if there's around you, and we have to take that time. We have to trust God in every aspect. To trust God instead of having that surrogate solution with a poor substitute for God's promise. Those of you that are in doubt, those of you that are persevered, Sarah spent most of her time doubting God. Most of her life doubting God. And yet, bam, Hebrews 11. Right there, she still ends up in the hall of faith. And by faith, even Sarah, there it is. Even Sarah made it. Even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was able to bear children because she considered him faithful, who had made the promise. In closing, some words of encouragement that I believe that Sarah would give us. Number one, don't try to get ahead of God when he isn't moving fast enough for you. Perseverance. Second Peter 3, chapter 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient. We think that God's slow, but he's not slow at all. He's just patient. And he wants us to develop that quality. The secret of patience is doing something else in the meantime. Psalms 37:7, the NLT says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. You know, people get all caught up in the moment. You know, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with my life? What's going to happen with the next steps? You know, and it's like, well, how do I tame that beast? I'll tell you what, I'll give you a for sure way, absolutely guaranteed way. You do it in the first thing in the morning. Do it at night. Either way, but just what you don't. I'm not talking about open up the Bible. Ooh, no. I'm not talking about praying. Ooh, no. I'm talking about taking 10 minutes, and you just put some worship music on, and you get quiet before God. And when all chaos is going on all around you and all in your heart and you're struggling in perseverance, and you sit there quiet before the Lord and you watch that monster get tamed. You watch your flesh that you know, just begin to calm and be smooth. And then what? Pastor Kathy talked about it during the transition. You get to exhale. When you exhale and you're not feeling suffocated, you begin to see clearly. And that's where direction comes. Take that time. Because I'll tell you what, God is not nervous, nor is he worried about anything. Worship and shut out the voices. The second thing she would say to us as encouragement, as she's walking back into the hall of fame, of faith, is when you must wait, focus on what's happening in you, not what's happening to you. So, I mean, we're human. We can focus on so much of what's going on around us, affecting us, instead of what God's trying to do in us. Remember, God is more interested in your character than he is about your convenience or your comfort. He's more interested, far more interested in your character than he is about your comfort. Pastor Kathy told a story, and actually the band can make their way up. Pastor Kathy shared a story about when Nathan was born last week, and when I was sitting there, it reminded me about this situation, the story. And it was actually when Nicholas was born. And so when Nick was born, it's hey, this is, I mean, we've been married for a couple years. My dream girl, I married my dream girl after 11 years, people, 11 years, and here we are, we're having our kid, and we're having our firstborn. And so, we did the Lamaze thing that, and that stuff don't work, it's like, if I start doing that, or, she'll just pass out, but no, it doesn't work. So, but I remember, here we are. We're in the room, and she's dilating, all this stuff, and let me paint the picture for you, okay? She's laying in the bed, and I'm on this side holding her hand. Pastor Patty, her mother, is on this side holding her hand, right? The nurse is down there, right? And so I ain't going down there, but she's down there, and so there we are, right? And Pastor Kathy says, well, I want my dad to be in here, and I want your dad, to be in here. I'm like, oh, Jesus, okay. And she said, they got they did the sheet, And so there's this moment, push, not dialing, nothing happening, And then it's like, push, the whole thing. And then Pastor Kathy, you would think like, your stories. Like, don't get near her when she's pushing. Don't get near her during that time, because you're gonna get her eye ripped out or something. She wasn't like that. She's like, push. Like, okay, Mom, do you want something to drink? You want? Can we have some ice for her? And John, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, fine. The nurse was like, I feel like I'm watching a Saturday Night Live skit of The Nice Family, I've never seen, she said, I've never experienced it before. But then she spoke too soon. Because then it's push, and all of a sudden, from behind the curtain, the men of God started acting up. Pastor Tom, in Jesus' name, come out! And my dad starts, and I want to say yelling, but he was praying very loudly in tongues, in the spirit. You know, he was praying in the spirit. You know, hub, 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 and he was just going, I'm like, so you have Pastor Tom yelling, come out in Jesus' name. My dad's screaming. I'm like, what is happening right now? I mean, just please, Nicholas, just hurry up. You know, let's get this over with. You know, and so there was a lot of, you know, there's a lot of, you know, obviously mothers know. You have Gabby back here, Gabby and Matt, right? They're where are you in your 26 weeks? Man, she gets to the last couple in the last trimester. Moms, you know. You're like Pastor Tom, in Jesus' name, come out, you know? Because it gets uncomfortable because why? There's this time. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25 from the Message Bible says, this is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what's enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become. And the more joyful our expectancy. So there's a pregnancy scripture just for you, Gabby. Now, Matthew, don't repeat it to her. Don't do that. But the truth of the matter is the longer you wait, the larger you become. I'll say it like this. The longer you wait, the closer you are to a delivery, and the more painful it is at the same time. Third trimester, wow. And you have to do your best to push past the pain and say, God, there's a purpose to this pain. And God is doing something good in Gabby right now. Something good is getting ready to come out of all that. I heard a doctor say this about giving birth is that is the only pain a human ever experiences that's good. All other pain that you experience, you want to get rid of it. You want to do something to. It's a bad thing, but not that. Because yes, it's painful. Yes, but the moment they put that baby in your arms, it all goes away. And the proof is because you have more kids. I mean, it's truth. I mean, if I'm going to take a hammer and keep hitting myself in the head because it hurts, I'm going to stop sometime. But what would cause? It's a horrible example, but you think about the richness of that thinking, wow, that is so incredibly spiritual. To think that moment, you forget it all. It doesn't matter. You would do it all over again. Even knowing what you experienced, you would still do it over again. And God is saying, you know what? When you're going through challenge, when you're going through this, when your patience isn't the ability to wait, but how you act while you are waiting. That something good's going to come out of it. Because God is the one who kept his promise. He's saying, I'll keep my promise to you. And lastly, I believe she would say this. Even our very best cannot possibly compare to anything God has in mind. God's way is always going to be the best. We just have to learn how to trust him. We We have to learn. It's okay, God. You've got this. And you've got me.